commitment, for better or for worse, always sends us in a new direction. Yes, but our ego is resistant. Along with our monkey mind, it talks us out of those creative things that we want to do with our lives, those adventures that we want to take. Oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, blah, blah, blah. Well, anyway, I was asked to talk about chapter 3 from our book, The Path of the Holy Fool, called Transforming the Wasteland. Is the name of chapter 3. Now, what does that mean, transforming the wasteland? Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit. But the book story overall is about the hero's journey. You might have heard Kristen talk a little bit about this. Of course, we are each on our hero's journey, and along with the central knight character, Percival, who must pass through the wasteland. The author notes that the entire human genome right now is in that phase of that journey together. The opening quote for the chapter itself, to introduce it, states, "A growing body of research supports what spiritual contemplatives, I got that right, have known for millennia, that the human capacity for imagination not only shapes our minds, but also weaves into the fabric of reality." So it sets a tone of hope in our own powers. The wasteland is described as a time of literalism and isolation. Does anybody feel that way sometimes? Can I get an amen? The idea that there are, our author suggests is that our country and much of the developed world is in a current wasteland because not only of the pandemic, but the anti-social media, constant news, and useless input which saps our energy and our imaginations. Ms. Archer also articulates my most passionate message in that our power of imagination releases us and heals us to move ourselves forward out of those low and confusing places that we sometimes find ourselves. So we have the power. The most sought-after commodity in the world right now, which is more valuable than gold these days, is your attention. And I appreciate that. I appreciate your attention in this moment. Because we give our attention to all types of media. Yes, I'm addressing you who are scrolling through your Facebook page while I'm giving this encouraging talk right now. To get on with your own life, not the life that someone else is trying to suggest to you. Right? Every time you look at your phone, companies track your attention, what is important to your specific interests, keeping us all in our own private tunnels and spaces. Our personal perspectives are getting smaller and smaller. Way back 9, 10 years ago, did we need a Facebook or a Twitter post to govern our emotions, our reactions, or what to do next? I don't think so. Social media creators are sending us into isolated wastelands, winning the war on creating a billionaire class while dismantling a cohesive, supportive society. We are now very segmented and combative based on our preferences. We sometimes lose track of who we are or where we are. You ever run into that? You're going through some stuff and you're like, well, where have I been for the last half an hour? We've been stiffened by the bombardment of media and we have to find our way out. Many of us are closed and judgmental to ourselves. Ideas can be black and white, not open to review or negotiation. That's just not real life if we want to live our best and support others. We've got to be flexible. We must clear the field of our own ego and hardened judgments. Like the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz, right? Who was stuck for years in his own judgments. Paralysis from analysis. Rusting out there. The orchard, not knowing what to do next. We are committed to knowing our own hearts more deeply. We get to practice our own heart's calling with our God-given grace ahead of someone else's agenda. Now, how do we do that? Well, nothing happens while living in the wasteland unless we make a commitment. We have to make a commitment in our hearts first for a new direction. When we feel in doubt or overwhelmed, what's the first thing that we need to do? We need to pray. We need to pray. We need to ask God to help us. And then we can get back to the 5 unity principles, the basis by which we are all here together. Right? Number one, there's only one presence and one power active in the universe and in my life. The bottom line, God the good. There's no debates. It's the bottom line. God the good is with us. Our essence, number two, our essence is of God. Therefore, we are inherently good. No matter what my monkey mind has to say about it. we are inherently good. Number three, we are co-creators with God, creating reality through thoughts held in mind. There's our imagination. We co-create what we have here in our life with God. Number four, through prayer and meditation, just like we were doing, we align our heart and mind with God. Not with the latest Facebook page, but with God, right? Number five, through thoughts, words, and actions, we live the truth we know. So these basic unity principles are great, but we need to put them into action to make them real. When I am called as a chaplain to do some support, the common complaint is one of upset, confusion, and overwhelm. And it's usually about someone else's stories and someone else's opinions. And I listen for a while, and then I ask him, I said, when is the last time you've turned your cell phone off? Does it have an off button? It's a very powerful button. Give it a try. Talking about the old days, back 9, 10 years ago, we would go fishing or play golf to disconnect and relieve the stresses of the day. Really disconnect. So where do you go to disconnect these days and charge your mental and emotional batteries? You need to ask yourself that question. What do I do? We are called to reactivate and use our power of imagination to transform the wasteland, to use our imaginations to transform the wasteland in order to find our next way forward. Imagination is the only thing that can lead us out into fulfill what is ours to do once we put it into action. Our author of our book takes us on a journey with many mistakes and lessons to be learned that our hero finally makes it to the Grail Castle. So that he can make it to the Grail Castle. And he finally makes it to the Grail Castle. Did I give the ending away? The Grail Castle exists between senses and thought. It is the imaginative, liminal, in-between world where our own visionary perception opens up. And I brought something along here to share. A lot of sharing today, you will see. This here looks to me like the Grail Castle. And I've had this for 34 years because it was the topper on our wedding cake. But I keep it on my shelf in my office because it not only reminds me of the path and the switchbacks and the things we did together for 34 years, but is also it holds the promise of getting back into the Grail Castle whenever possible, whenever I can, to use my imagination to move on, move forward. Thank you for letting me share that. The bottom line is it's all imagination that's created us, this building, this suit of clothes, each one of us. Yet our competitive ego doesn't want us to give credit to the imagination. No, our ego doesn't like uncertainty. But imagination is what ignites our visions, what ignites our passions, then helps us move forward with new ideas. New optimism can make those visions real through actions we take in the world. Basic number five. Back there again, all right. I do a lot of creative paint work. And I do just that, to practice expressing whatever it is that comes up in my imagination. And it's always a surprise. It could go left, it could go right, it just doesn't matter what it is, I just paint it. My wife can attest to this. So I have a couple of visuals to share for those who are visually challenged. And I will do that right now. So, here's the first one. So this is a storybook, really. It's about a journey. Likely parts of my journey, right? Because it's all about me. Because I start off on the bottom, on my face down, unconscious, not knowing who I am or where I'm going. And as I climb, I keep climbing, I keep going up the stairs and switch back left and right. It's kind of like a labyrinth in a way. But I'm always on my real-life path to find the Grail Castle. And then some of you may be able to notice, but I always have a heavy bag on the back of each person. It's a heavy bag I carry over my shoulders. It's my stuff, my ideas about why I can't go forward, mistakes I've made, unforgiveness, excuses. But I keep climbing, I keep pushing past my problems to make it to my next adventure. And I hope not to fall into too many pits of despair. There's a lot of pits of despair around. And this is another movie connection, right? Same movie. All right, so I want to share that first one with you. The next one is a little different. Very different. Oh, we got the winds back up. It's fall again. Have you ever seen an eyeball this big? Maybe you have at the movies. But this is a scene where we look out onto the world by who we are, our assumptions, our travels, and who we think we are, lenses of past issues and assumptions. That's our personal lenses. And we see the world as we are. And then we fill in the blanks. And then we also float around the outskirts, trying to avoid all the sharks that we can avoid. Then here, just out of line of sight, this is called the Earthrise. Some of you may know it. It's a picture of Earth from the moon taken in 1968. It gave us a perspective about ourselves and changed the perspective of many from a small tribal world to a world where we live and move and have our being together, a world in which we are all connected physically, emotionally, and mentally on all levels, yet we are in constant denial of it. It is out of our sight, out of our perspective. So we don't always have it in mind when we're out in the world. On another space note, I got excited about space. Anyone catch that 90-year-old William Shatner shoot off into space this week? I was very inspired by that. I'm really glad William lived to 90 years old, number one. Number two is, you know, he played a character called Captain Kirk for the Star Trek Enterprise back in the day. And when I was a kid, he was one of my heroes. He was tough. He made thoughtful decisions. He always talked to his analytical mind, Spock, to get a second opinion. Was passionate. He saved people. In each adventure, he and his crew were able to make it through some rough wastelands and get all spruced up for the next adventure next week. Star Trek took our imaginations to new worlds and to see ourselves in a much bigger context, grappling with similar issues that we grapple with today. The captain and the starship crew were resilient despite mistakes and trials, and I see you and me as captains of our own resiliency. As much as we deny and separate from each other, as we point out, we are pointing at ourselves at the same time. So using the image of Earthrise as a classic personal vision has many aspects to help us grow on our journey, especially realizing that we are in this life together. We forget amidst the constant input for our attention that there are bigger things that matter, things that would help heal the earth, heal our hearts, and grow our own imaginations bigger and wider. So in conclusion, thank you for being with me today. Appreciate it. Be willing to rise above the monkeys in your phone and your mind and that blind you to who you really are and what you have known always. You are a co-creator with God in every moment. And I have an affirmation to share with you today. As I open my heart, I see a world transforming. It begins with me. So let's say that together. As I open my heart, I see a new world transforming. It begins with me. Because there is only one presence and one power active in my life and your life. The all-loving goodness of God. Be peace. Thank you.